السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وبجزيل نعمائه، لا نحصي ثناء عليه هو كما أثنى على نفسه. والصلاة والسلام على نبيه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين الرسول المبين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين من أزواجه وذريته وأهل بيته أجمعين وصحابته الصالحين الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين. On freedom and the pursuit of happiness, our last session, we addressed a few essential and basic and complementary as well points pertaining to the question of what is freedom and what is happiness, and what the relationship between freedom and happiness was, and what the different types of freedom that one can envisage depending on the different types of nufus that humans share, and thus depending on the type and goal of happiness one set for themselves, people set for themselves. And then we had established that ultimately the ultimate freedom and the most noble freedom and the highest degree of freedom that would lead to the most noble of happiness is the freedom of the qulub. We also mentioned some of the relationships between, for instance, al-bala and freedom, al-bala and happiness. And I would like to say a few more words about something close to that, namely al-ma'asi and freedom. Sins and their relationship to freedom and to happiness. I'm almost sure that perhaps all of you, as far as we have established so far, pertaining to the principles that govern the concepts of freedom and happiness as we believe we understand them as Muslims, that certainly committing dhunub is antithetical to the freedom of the qulub, because as we had established before, dhunub are not only the consequences of the different low states of the nufus, namely al-bahimi self and the predatory sabu'i self and the shaitani self, but also that the dhunub feed back into the same nafs and strengthen those types of nufus. And when they strengthen them, they in turn strengthen their grasp and their hold and their strangulating and suffocating effect on the qalb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses different terms in the Quran to describe such states of lack of freedom of the qalb due to the stronghold of the nafs, tatwiq, حوق, ران, حجاب. All of these are terms and more that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran uses the concept of itq, of the nafs, as it comes also in the language of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And itq is when you free someone, when you free a slave. And he speaks صلى الله عليه وسلم of the itq, about the nafs, that every morning every human being comes out to do what he has to do, and either that he enslaves his nafs or he frees his nafs. فموبقها أو معتقها. معتقها meaning you free, you liberate your nafs from slavery. And that is if one conducts himself or herself during that day in a way that is consistent with the ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the nafs is freed, is liberated, yu'atiquha, that the nafs in a state of, becomes in a state of itq, and that's the same word that is used for freeing a physical slave, a bond person. No doubt the dhunub, my brothers and sisters, do cause the qalb to be under the stronger hold even of the nafs, and therefore diminish from the liberty and the freedom of our qulub to experience their joy of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or at least to be prevented from advancing further into the realm of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-dhunub wal-ma'asi, as we must know, sometimes also have that which we call an addictive effect. There is an addiction that is the result of dhunub amongst many, many other results, some of which we covered in our first session when we spoke about the impact of dhunub in our lives, personal and collective. And that concept of addiction and the pain of addiction of dhunub, subhanAllah, is similar but more serious than the pain and the addiction that one experiences from indulging in certain physical substances, for instance. And those who have an addiction to something or physical substance, for instance, know, and we know that of course through the many different ways by which people and doctors and specialists attempt to find cures for such individuals, that even though they want to stop, but they cannot stop. Not only that, but if one does not have more of that substance which is at the root of its, of his or her pain, physical pain even, and amongst other disastrous consequences, they can't. It's very difficult. Not only that, but they feel in the absence of the substance pain. Sometimes it's physical pain and anxiety and depression. They have to have that which is at the cause of their disease and ailment. And of course, if they have it, it will not help them. It will only remove that anxiety and that pain, very temporary. And then the pain and the anxiety come after that even in more powerful ways, more intense ways. That is very similar to the ailments and to the wounds and to the pain, spiritual and psychological, of dhunub, when we want to do good and we can't do good. And oftentimes, sometimes, even a person may express, through, when it gets to this addictive state, that the person, if in an environment that is an environment of khayr and of goodness and of ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would feel anxious, would feel depressed. That should not be strange and should not be very unusual, because we understand that from the example of addiction to those things, substances, for example, that are physical substances. And that is true and that is fact. And when there is a tawq, فَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ بَرَّانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. All that tawq and that ran, that's a meaning of enclosure, meaning of jailing and of imprisoning and of narrowness and of again enclosure, rather than meaning of openness and vastness and freedom and ease. And that is definitely the result of dhunub, and that result is the result of imprisonment, not of freedom, most certainly. And of course, what to do about such a situation is certainly not very different, at least in essence, from the solutions that are suggested for those who are in the state of addiction and in pain in the case of physical substances. If you tell the person, then just go ahead and continue, it will only get worse. And that person will get to a point when perhaps they will physically die and go. But instead, they will try to keep them away from the environment and the conditions that would make them, that would facilitate for them indulging or having access and availability of those substances that are at the cause of their addiction. And they do that gradually. And they do that gradually, under careful watch of specialists and in group therapy. Otherwise, it will only get worse and worse and worse to the extent that the person may clearly lose his or her life. Dhunub have this effect of addiction. It is never, though when the state of the nafs is strong, rarely or if ever one is aware of that. There is a powerful, almost natural justification of the state in which we are. Just like in the physical sense, and I have known many instances like that, where the person who is addicted to a physical substance denies at all that he or she has a problem. Isn't it true? Some deny that they have a problem at all, that they are addicted at all, that they can stop at any time. And I just recently on the phone spoke to someone about whom I had a conversation about this, about substance that he takes, and that discussion was something like 23 years ago. And I asked him finally, I haven't seen him for probably 15 or 20 years, and on the phone, and I remembered some conversation. I said, how are you doing pertaining to that matter? And he says, no, still the same. And in denial. It was cigarette smoking. For me, that's very, very serious, because I believe it is haram. And it is the same thing. One would deny sometimes that he or she has a problem with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not see or does not think that pulling away from the environment in which the virus or the microbe or the bacteria in the spiritual sense are very prevalent. Because as he or she attempts to move from that and away from the substance, that's when the pain begins, and that's when the anxieties come and they begin to multiply. But such an individual must pull away from the environment, at least gradually, must take the medication of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of tilawat al-Quran, even when he or she feels anxious, when he opens the Quran, can't read it. Not only cannot, but there is a tremendous and powerful ضيق. It's like astaghfirullah, it's like the Quran is doing to that individual, seemingly the opposite of what the Quran is intended to do. And would say, no, can't look at this. It's like someone taking a physical medication who is sick, who needs it, and someone is repulsed by the taste of that medication or what it does to that person, nausea and wanting to vomit, but he has to take the medication, and then later on it begins to improve. Well, the core of this part of the discourse, my dear brothers and sisters, is that a dhunub has a jailing, an addictive effect. It has an imprisoning effect on the qalb. And the consequences of addiction as we know them in substance abuse are not strange when we try to compare them with the addictions of dhunub and the consequences of dhunub. And consequently, in contradistinction to that, al-ibadat wa-ta'at, al-ibadat wa-ta'at are elements that free us and that liberate us. Wallahi innahu lahaq aydan. And ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the struggle for ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the types also of ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially enjoined upon us as mandatory, subhanallah, their effect is to liberate and to free the qalb. Yarhamukallah. So dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the most instrumental means by which to gradually and slowly and surely, inshallah, to begin to liberate our qulub. Sometimes some of us think there is no change, but there is change. You have a baby that grows in front of you. Every day it's growing, but you can't see that. Oh, it's growing. How much, Sharia? Did you find out? A little bit. Maybe half a millimeter, or maybe. But it's growing. It's developing. It's growing. But because you're there, oftentimes you don't notice that. Yourself also, when you exercise in other ways of legitimate exercises for the strengthening, let's say, of your physical body, as some people like to do, that is, there is day in improvement, so minimal that you don't notice it, that it will be noticed much later as you subject yourself to different types of assessments and evaluations. The ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, produces change. Yes, some dhikr, whether the heart is present or not, what are some other conditions, etc., is more effective than other. Even when just by the tongue and the qalb is yet to be present, it has its benefits in liberating gradually the qalb, in liberating the individual from other types of effects of absence of ibadah. As salah, as dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the most powerful dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salah, because it contains Quran and dhikr of tasbih and tahleel and takbir and the ibadah of the limbs as well, the ibadah of the qulub. Salah, subhanAllah, is intended to break the habit of ma'asiyah and the habit of emptiness, meaning the negative type of emptiness of doing nothing. Salah is intended to break in us our attachments and our addictions to everything else that we do, including work, whether legitimate or not. And whatever we're doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us at least 5 times a day to Him. And we have to break what we are doing. And by breaking what we are doing is an act of saying with your mind and with your heart, this is not all my life. This is not the most important thing in my life. Nothing can hold me from connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially in my salah. And that's why Allah made it mandatory as rahmah of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because some of us, like those of us addicted in doing wrong, we have to force us to do good. And then we realize that those who forced us did the best thing for us. So Allah forces us in this way to come to falah, to come to salah, to growth. And as we five times a day break whatever habits we happen to be involved in, we are freed. We are intended also to discover the joy and the peace behind the joy and the peace that we seek in different ways. Salah, to break the addiction of belonging to anything else. See? Five times a day, it intends to liberate. In addition to what Salah means, and every movement in the Salah, and every part of the Salah has a powerful inner dimensional meaning and fruit and benefit, intended to liberate our qulub, and consequently our qulub to experience peace and joy and happiness. Kadhalika sawm, fasting is intended to break the addiction of worshipping, eating. In not drinking we grow, in abstaining from certain legitimate and halal sources of nourishment and of enjoyment, we grow. We do not continue to feel attached to the food and so on and so forth. It is intended to liberate us. Zakah is intended to liberate us from the hold in our hearts and the attachments in our hearts to possession, to wealth in general. Wealth has a powerful grip on us, isn't it? One of the two most powerful elements of dunya. So when we let go of the wealth, even when we love wealth, and that's love by the nafs, we've got to let go. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes part of that sadaqah mandatory. And then the recommended sadaqah and charity fi sabilillah, to continue to free and liberate ourselves from the attachment that we have to wealth. When I give it biqalbin sadiq wa safin, when I give it away, it intends to liberate me, to liberate my heart from another component again that is of a very powerful grip on my qalb. Al-Hajj, the ultimate experience. The physical journey under which exists a very, very powerful, deep and profound spiritual journey of liberation from ihram until the last moment and the last day. Every one of those, subhanAllah, is an act of liberation of the qalb from the attachments to different elements of dunya and of even beyond dunya. Similarly, Hajj, as you leave your physical home, that's it. Leaving your physical home. You're leaving a place to which you're attached, or at which for which you have attachment. But it also symbolizes your qalb beginning to leave the house of its own nafs, and leave it behind, and leave the khalq behind, and it begins its journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on and so forth. And the time is not intended today to go through the details of that, and we have done something like that, I hope, before. So the ibadat are intended to liberate us also, to liberate our qulub. And if we desist from that, if we do not perform those ibadat, we are only worsening our situation. And if we commit more dhunub, and if we continue to commit more dhunub, then we are only worsening our situation. And we should never think that the way we cure our nufus in the psychological and spiritual sense is by for a time giving the nafs what it wants. It never works. It never works. When nafsuka tifli in tuhmilhu shabba ala hubba al-raza'i wa in taftimhu yanfatimi. As you all know. And nafs also, if you give it more. وَلَا تَرُمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي كَسْرَ شَهْوَتِهَا إِنَّ الطَّعَامَ يُقَوِّي شَهْوَةَ النَّهِمِ. Don't think that by giving more food to the glutton, that the glutton will desist and will stop from liking food. It will only increase his or her lust for food. The nafs is a glutton. The nafs is a glutton when it comes to ma'asi, when it comes to that which it likes. The more we give the nafs, the more the nafs wants. It will never, it's not a good friend to have. It's not a grateful, thankful friend to have. Never. And all of this ultimately leads us to tawheed and freedom. Tawheed and freedom. We had established many times before that the essence of ma'asi and the essence of obedience, of ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is deficiency in tawheed, or more completeness of tawheed. In essence, that's what it boils down to. And tawheedullah azza wa jal in our qulub, in the way we have talked about it these days, is most certainly the ultimate act of liberating our qulub. Because tawheed, as this word implies, this dynamic affirmation of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by keeping in our hearts no attachment except the wahid subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the true wahid, and there is no wahid, as we learned in our session of al-asma' wa sifat, there is no wahid except al-wahid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that anything or anyone inside of our qulub is multiplicity, and multiplicity leads to anxieties, depressions, fatigue, tiredness of the qalb. And tawheed is the ultimate state of hurriya, the ultimate state of the ubudiyya, the ultimate state of freedom, the ultimate happiness, my dear brothers and sisters. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. Nothing is done by our own selves. That is this self that we're trying to conquer. How can we do anything by the self if we try to conquer the self? I shall not walk the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by my own self, by my nafs. I shall ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I shall beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I shall sit at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I shall hold to the tail of His rahmah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I shall hang there and keep asking Him. And keep asking Him, please, please free my heart. Remove the worries of dunya from my heart, the worries of power, the worries of money, the worries of competition for the elements of this dunya, the worries of my nafs, the hamm of dunya, the hamm of the nafs, the hamm of the khalq, for He is the only one subhanahu wa ta'ala who masters everything, who is the only free and the ultimate and absolute free subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِيَدِهِ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ قَادِرٌ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَالِمٌ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِيَدِهِ خَزَائِنُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. He has power of all things. He knows all things. In His hands are all things. He owns the treasures of all things, the keys to all the treasures of all things. I must continue to ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to empty my qalb from other than Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua, 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 dua. While I struggle to empty my qalb through the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through actualizing my knowledge of the wahi, the nur of the wahi that I receive, I shall receive it and accept it and struggle to actualize it in my life so that that nur of the wahi resides inside of my qalb, by which then I can see the next stage in my journey. I must continue to do that, my dear brothers and sisters. أسأله عز وجل أن يطهر قلبي من غيره, أن يطهر قلبي سبحانه وتعالى مما سواه, أن يطهر قلبي من هموم الدنيا. I must continue to do that. I cannot make it alone. Never can I make it alone. Never should I rely with my qalb on my own hawl and quwwah, on my own abilities and my own strength. I cannot do that. I'm not intended to do that. The rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not require from me that. I must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. Yes, in particular, getting to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala by Him. And in this, Shaykh Rahmahullah Ta'ala Al-Jailani, he says, Ya Ghulam, إن قدرت أن تتفرغ من هموم الدنيا فافعل. Oh young man, إذا قدرت أن تتفرغ من هموم الدنيا فافعل. If you're able to free yourself from the worries and the concerns of dunya, do that. وإلا فهرول بقلبك إلى الحق عز وجل. Otherwise, run with your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Haqq subhanahu wa ta'ala. وتعلق بذيل رحمته حتى يخرج هم الدنيا من قلبك. And hang on tight to the stretched out rahmah of Al-Haqq Azza wa Jal until He subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out of your heart the concern and the worries of dunya. هو القادر على كل شيء العالم بكل شيء بيده كل شيء إلزم بابه إلزم بابه وسله أن يطهر قلبك من غيره. Stay at His door. Don't go away. Stay at His door. Don't go away. Stay, ألزم. Remain there no matter what. I will not go away no matter what happens to me. You know, sometimes, as He tells us in another parable, rahimahullah ta'ala, the parent tests his child when he does wrong, keeps him out of the door and closes the door in those days. Nowadays, calls 911. Forgive me for this digression. So he leaves him out and he tests him. Will he stay out and wait and feel remorse and keeps at the door and sits at the door? Or will he go tell about his parent to the neighbor? If the child remains at the door and shows by that, and the door does not move, the parent, the mother or the father, comes finally in the middle of the night when the child thought he lost hope and opens the door and come in. Come in. إِلْزِمْ بَابَهُ. Do not leave the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسَلْهُ أَنْ يُطَهِرَ قَلْبَكَ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. And ask him to cleanse your heart from other than him subhanahu wa ta'ala. سَلْهُ أَنْ يُعْطِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ وَيُؤْنِسَ قَلْبَكَ بِهِ وَيُشْغِلَ جَوَارِحَكَ بِخِدْمَتِهِ. Ask him that he gives you the gift of yaqeen, of certainty. Ask him to give you into your heart solace in his company subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask him that he occupies your limbs and your senses with his service subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask him that. Ask him that. Dua. Ask him that. Not by yourself. Don't do it by yourself. Don't do it by yourself. For it will not work. It is by him subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters, that we ultimately may be liberated. And that is rahmah. Alhamdulillah, that the affairs of my own world inside of me are not left to me, because how can I change me that needs to be changed by me? And that is one of the I don't want to use the word mysterious, but one of the interdimensional aspects of our attempts at coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at coming and arriving at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our qulub, my dear brothers and sisters. Again, I do pray inshaAllah ta'ala that this I don't know how brief it was, but I pray that it was clear enough inshaAllah ta'ala and helpful enough, first to me and then to you, pertaining to freedom and the pursuit of happiness. There are other things, yes, that we can still talk about in the context of freedom and the pursuit of happiness, especially when we take these values and after interiorizing them, or while we interiorize them, how do they reflect in family life, how do they reflect in institutions, and so on and so forth. Some think we have alluded at in the course of our discourse today. That's perhaps for some other time, but as we are concerned with this, and we must always concerned be concerned with this level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rest assured, will open for us horizons of understanding and of comprehension, so that we take that and project it in the extended life around us. Had I said anything correct and proper, it is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone I praise him and thank him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had I said anything improper and incorrect, it is my own nafs, my own ignorance, and the impact of the nafs on my qalb, on shaytan, on my nafs. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I remind you of him and yet myself forget him. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.